Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today, I want to share with you a little bit more about my keen interest in the autonomic nervous system and how we can learn to self-regulate from the inside out. And that this just might be the key to helping us with so many chronic illnesses and disease pathologies. I would love to see that the Western healthcare system begin to adopt yoga therapy and therapeutic yoga as a primary way to help people impact their health. I think the nervous system is so amazing because it impacts our digestive system, our endocrine system, our immune system, our cardiovascular system, all of these, our reproductive system, that the link, the thing that's driving all of those other systems is the nervous system. So I want to invite all of you to a very special thing that I've started to do with Marlisa Sullivan and the Polyvagal Institute. The Polyvagal Institute, PVI.org, has an app. It's called the Mighty App. And basically what you can do is go in and join the Mighty App, the Polyvagal Institute group, which I'll put this in the show notes for you. And then once you get in there, there's a yoga and yoga therapy group that Marlisa and I are kind of in charge of and helping to run. So we'll be putting out articles, we'll be putting out community things that we're going to do together. We'll have speakers come on that Mighty App. So there's many, many things that I think you'll get for free if you decide to join that group. So I'll put it in the show notes and feel free to join Marlisa and I as we navigate this new Polyvagal Institute offering. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour and Beyond. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to be involved in the Optimal State community, we have a weekly yoga therapy clinic. We have a mobile app called the Optimal State and many other ways you can get involved with our Optimal State community. Come to www.theoptimalstate.com and find out ways that you can get involved with us. Thank you for listening and we welcome you to this episode. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. My name is Amy Wheeler, and I'm going to be your host today. I've had several people contact me in the last few months and say that they wish I would do more solo episodes. And so in response to that, I'm going to try to put in maybe one solo episode, sometimes two per month, and just let you know what's on my mind and what I think about and how my heart works and what that has to do with yoga therapy and beyond. So the thing that's really kind of alive for me right now is that I have these Monday night yoga therapy clinics, and every month we take a new topic. So this month is regulation of the autonomic nervous system. And I couldn't believe it when we got, 40 people signed up. That's a lot of people interested in the autonomic nervous system and how to regulate it and create resilience. So I thought it might be a great time to share with all of you on the podcast some of the ideas that I'm sharing in that Monday night yoga therapy clinic, because we always have a 15-minute little check-in and lecture. Then we do about 30, 35 minutes of asana. Then we do about 30 to 35 minutes of pranayama and meditation, and then a checkout at the end. And then some people stick around afterwards to get continuing education units. And we discuss the theory behind why we did what we did in the practice. So that's where all of this is coming from. And, the big thing that we talked about last Monday night was that each and every one of us has undigested and unprocessed stuff inside of us that we didn't have the internal or external resources to deal with. And so we just kind of shove it down into our bodies. And over time, this starts to have an effect on us. And it could be things from childhood, could be from adulthood, could be from last week. I mean, it's constantly happening. So when this happens in yoga speak, we would say the life force or the prana starts to not flow very well. And the way we might say it in kind of the Western language is that our autonomic nervous system gets dysregulated. And so we were talking in class about how when that happens, there needs to be oscillation of the nervous system, meaning the nervous system is either stuck in the sympathetic mode, the fight and flight and flee and freeze response, and it can't get back down. Or for some people, it gets stuck in the parasympathetic, which could also be a different type of freeze, but it could just be that unmotivated, lethargic, not able to get up and be a participant in your own life. So we can get stuck on either end. And what we're trying to do with our yoga therapy practice is to allow those cycles to happen. So I like to say every 90 minutes, there should be a little activity and then come down to rest, and a little more activity and come down to rest. And that activity could be physical or mental or both. Hopefully both. So in my life, I try to schedule my day where I have something important and then something a little restful. And then I go for a walk and then, come back and sit at work. And I'm always trying to oscillate my nervous system throughout the day when possible. There are some days where it doesn't happen and I have a very stressful day, but in general, we're trying to get our nervous system to go up and down and up and down. And I think that's really unique because so many of us, when we first started learning about yoga and yoga therapy, we thought we just needed to help people get into the relaxation response, which may be the first step. I'm not in disagreement with that, but I think the real work as we integrate this into our lives is to be able to move through our day, the yoga off the mat, so that our nervous system is comfortably moving through these cycles throughout the day. Now, to get that to happen, you might need to do what I call unpack the nervous system. Unpack it. It's like a wall full of bricks. You can't just take the trauma brick out. You can't just take the exhausted brick out. You can't just take the I'm overwhelmed brick out. You have to look at the whole wall and start figuring out how to take one brick out at a time. So healing our nervous system is like that, it happens a little bit at a time, where we learn to oscillate, where we learn to schedule our days a little bit differently, where we basically do lifestyle wellness and what some people call lifestyle medicine. It's how are we going to teach our body on the mat what it feels like to have the nervous system be able to downregulate and even upregulate when needed. Both are important. And then how are we going to bring that into our lives? Because if we're only depending on the yoga mat and that time during yoga to be able to do that work, but then we go back to a life that can't sustain it for the next 22 hours of the day, 23 hours of the day, it's never going to stick. It's almost like a band-aid. So I think the real work for us as yoga teachers and yoga therapists is helping people understand that just how we downregulate or upregulate on the yoga mat, we need to learn to do that in life also. And that it's through the process over time, day after day. I'm not saying you have to do a daily practice every day, although I would love to see you do that. But it's more that it has to happen on a regular basis. One of our teachers, TKV Deskachar, would say 5 mini practices per day of 5 minutes each is better than one 25-minute practice at the beginning or the end of the day. I'm going to say that again. TKV Deskachar would say that 5 mini practices of 5 minutes each throughout the day is more effective than one 25-minute practice at the beginning or the end of the day. And I think what they're saying is that we're creating new habitual patterns in our body, in our nervous system, in our mind. And that if we can go at it multiple times per day and just do these little mini, what I'm calling a cycling of the nervous system, I think that's going to create that new habitual pattern. and go into your lifestyle. And for me personally, it's become really obvious when I'm getting out of balance again. And I have a lot of physiological changes, just like we see in Yoga Sutra. I think it's 131, where dukkha dauramanasya angame jayatvashvasa prashvasa. Like there's things that we know that when that happens, that's a sign that we've gotten dysregulated and that it's time to make a change. So specifically for Yoga Sutra 131, dukkha, that feeling of being in the trash compactor, your heart space is being literally crunched, your muscles feel tight, you're contracting. That feeling or sensation of being in a trash compactor is a sign that we are not living the way that it would be better if we could live. And I know that involves a certain amount of privilege to even make that choice. And I empathize with all of us who don't have that choice, or we don't perceive we have that choice. Many, many years I worked what I considered two full-time jobs, a yoga job and a university professor job. And it didn't seem like I had even 5 minutes several times a day. So I understand that. And over time, we are responsible for our lives. We have to figure out the way forward and how to be happier and healthier, even in these really difficult situations. That's what yoga is about. It's kind of a harsh message, right? That nobody's going to do it but you. It's an inside job and it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to figure out how to formulate that and make it possible within the confines and the responsibilities of our own lives. So we've got the dukkha, the dauramanasya. When you start getting really negative and depressed, dour, right? That's another sign, like, uh-oh, something is off here. We need to back up and figure out a new way. Angame jayatva is physiological changes like blood pressure going up, becoming constipated, maybe not being able to sleep, those types of things that happen in our bodies, appetite increasing overly or decreasing from your norm, that type of thing. And then shvasa prashvasa is you start to inhale and kind of walk around all braced and hold your breath at the top, almost like you've got a little, soldier outfit on and you're going to stick your chest out and try to be a warrior in this world. That's a sign, that kind of big inhale and hold at the top of the inhale and a kind of a short exhale. When you start to hear yourself doing that, and sometimes you can also hear people, they breathe really forcefully or really loudly, or there's a lot of sighing. I always know when I start to hear someone in my household sighing all the time, they'll be in the by themselves in the kitchen, cooking, and I'll hear, I know, like, oh, the system is too pent up. There's too much going on. And the way we say that in yoga terms is, some of the ways I've been discussing. And then we might say your autonomic nervous system is dysregulated. So those four symptoms of suffering from Yoga Sutra 131, those are always a sign that something is off. And then this manifests in so many different ways. And that's a whole nother thing, right? That when we stay dysregulated for many, many days, months, weeks, years, decades, I mean, it happens. People just get chronically dysregulated. That's when we start to see things like autoimmune disease. That's when we start to see things like addiction. That's when we start to see things like chronic pain. I would say most of my private clients come in one of those three areas: addictions, chronic pain, autoimmune disease. And, part of it is that I personally have gone through these things. So I feel, from an experiential level, very qualified to help these people and know the yogic teachings that can help. But also, I just think those are the things that Western medical healthcare has had a really hard time helping people with. And so usually yoga and yoga therapy is kind of like the last stop. They've been to every other healthcare provider. They've tried everything. Nothing has worked. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, there's this thing. There's this way of living. There's this life philosophy that I could adopt. I mean, it goes, as you all know, way beyond the mat. It's not just doing postures like, oh, if I do this posture, my chronic pain will go away. Not at all. It is learning to get a healthy nervous system. As I said, learning to have the nervous system oscillating, but it's also changing our perception of reality. As we get out of balance, we have less and less ability to perceive correctly. We call this viveka in yoga, right? That our perception becomes very clouded. And then once that happens, we're kind of in a tough spot because we're having misperception leading to making decisions and choices based on that misperception. And it just becomes this kind of circular thing. And what yoga and yoga therapy have to offer is a change in perception, a new way of looking at things. And I'll share a funny story with you. I had been living in California for 25 years, and I love California. I love the weather. I love the beautiful nature that I got to be in. There were so many things I loved about California. And it's very expensive to live there as a yoga teacher. And I think we all have these dreams of, oh, maybe I'll go live in Oregon. Maybe I'll go live in New Mexico. Maybe I'll go live in, you know, wherever. So for 15 years, my husband and I would just walk around the block with our dogs and dream, well, maybe we could go here. Would you like to visit there? What do you think about this place? So I would say twice a week, for a decade or more, we would have these conversations about where would we like to end up when we're older. And then as I retired from the university, it became more real, like I could actually move somewhere. And my perception was that I would never come back to the Midwest because it's too cold here. And that's what everybody says. Oh, it's cold. It's cold. There's this one quality of cold that everyone thinks, oh God, why would you ever leave California? It's so warm. And then you're going to cold. And so I kind of had bought into that perception, or shall I say, misperception, because the truth is, I lived in the mountains. We had 12 feet of snow last year in one snowstorm where we couldn't even get out of our houses. So the truth is, where I was living is not that different than Minnesota, where I was going to be going to potentially. So we could never get a clear consensus and clear perception about where we wanted to end up. And then I got very ill, and I basically spent a lot of time in bed meditating for about 4 months. And during that 4 month period, when my energy came down, when I got regulated, when I came back into balance, and I wasn't so scattered and diluted and, you know, running all over the place like a chicken with my head cut off, it became very, very clear where we should move. And then that was in, I guess, about 2022. But it was because I had settled down, because I was just lying down and resting, because I was really getting clarity about my life, that the answer emerged, which was go back and be near family, go back to the Midwest. And it was such a good decision. Some of you have read my posts and see how happy I am here. But I guess my point is, I, for about 15 years, was like, where should we move? Where should we move? Where should we move? And it wasn't until I got ill and basically had to be in bed for months that it finally dawned on me, why aren't you thinking of the most obvious place? So this is what I mean about yoga and yoga philosophy, helping us get clear perception, but also it's through regulation of the autonomic nervous system that we can have clear perception. And this is such an important point that I don't think many of us really take in. And that is, when we are in the sympathetic nervous system response consistently, fight or flight, day after day after day, our perception is off. The things we pay attention to, the things we read, the things we eat, the people we want to hang out with, the types of work we choose are coming from that place of rajas, from that place of excitement or stress or fear. And those are bad choices. Those are not things that are going to sustain us over time. Those are not things that are going to make us feel peaceful and happy. So all of these ideas about visualization and I'm going to manifest this and I'm going to bhavanize that, If that's coming from a very rajasic place, we have to be careful. You just might get what you're asking for. As we talk about nervous system regulation, wouldn't it be better to come into a more peaceful place if possible? And it's not always possible, but wouldn't it be better to settle into your soul and work from that place of clarity to go forward? So that's a yogic teaching right there, that let's get ourselves into a state, a good state of mind, a good state of heart, a good state of your autonomic nervous system, and then we can make the important decisions of our lives. So that's one thing. I also want to go back to this idea that when our autonomic nervous system is out of balance, it causes things like addiction, chronic pain, and autoimmune disease, all of which I'm an expert at because I've been living in this human body, experiencing what I'm talking about today, and have mostly managed to come out the other side. Sometimes I fall back, but in general, I think I'm doing pretty darn good. Considering when I had my chronic pain, I couldn't even walk around the block. I would use a cane. And I was so out of balance in terms of my musculoskeletal system and how all of my lower body muscles couldn't actually work together anymore. There were certain muscles that were turned off, other ones were overfiring, and there wasn't the ability of the lower body muscles to work together in a simpatico way. And so that caused great chronic pain, not just when I was walking, but when I was lying in bed, when I was trying to go down the stairs. Everything was just tensed up and holding on for dear life, and it was painful. And we can go to certain places and try to turn these muscles on and get those to not overfire and get massage and do this and do that. There's a lot of really helpful healthcare modalities out there that I used. I used multiple modalities, but nothing changed until I got my nervous system back in balance. Nothing changed. The patterns of overfiring and underfiring and the lower body all working together in a way that allowed me to walk for more than a mile. It didn't happen until I started doing things like yoga nidra twice a day.
Hey, did you know that Optimal State has a special course to help you learn yoga nidra? The first course is free. It's called 12 Days of Yoga Nidra, and you can find it at www.optimalstateyoganidra.com. And if you like that and you want to add becoming a yoga nidra facilitator to your skill set, no matter what job you do, which might be being a mom or a nurse or a therapist or a yoga teacher, we would love to train you in our 6-month yoga nidra facilitators course. Again, www.optimalstateyoganidra.com. We hope you'll join us.
Right? Things that brought me into a deep, deep state of relaxation, things that brought my nervous system back into balance. That's when all those other modalities actually started to hold. I had a chiropractor tell me, "Oh gosh, you come in here every week and, I put you back in, but probably 10 minutes later, you fall back out of the adjustment that I just gave." And I said, "I feel that. I walk in here, you put me straight for about 10 minutes. I feel really good. Like, oh, this is what it's supposed to feel like. By the time I get home, I'm out." And so I think comes from the autonomic nervous system not being able to regulate itself. So it's through the beauty of yoga nidra, yoga therapy, that we can help get our autonomic nervous system in balance. And then a lot of the other things that we're doing will actually stick. So that's kind of the idea behind chronic pain. But it's also how I came to understand fixing autoimmune disease, that a big part of my autoimmune disease had to do with living in the sympathetic response 24/7, 360 days a year. Like most of the time, I was in fight or flight, using caffeine to keep going, using sugar to keep going, really pushing through my body telling me that it needed a rest. And me just saying, "I'm sorry, we don't have time for that. We got stuff to do." That's not possible. And that goes back to what I talked about earlier when I said, we can think of it as it's a privilege to take time to do these practices. But what I found is that if I didn't finally make them a priority and prioritize myself and my own health, I wasn't going to be able to work anymore. And that was going to be a big problem, right? So I'm just asking us to consider that if it came to that, would you make changes? And if so, well, then make those changes now before it comes to that. So this idea of we must push through, we have to do more, we have to keep going, we aren't allowed to take care of ourselves. You know what I finally had to do? I had to put it in my calendar as a meeting. And I told myself, this is part of your work, because if you don't get this autoimmune disease under control, you're not going to be able to work. And specifically, I really was starting to have a lot of fibromyalgia type symptoms, and I had Sjogren's on the left side of my face. So, make a long story short, I actually had to make my self-care part of my job at first to give myself permission to take that time. I was putting everyone and everyone else first, and I wasn't prioritizing myself. And so it wasn't until I realized that I was going to be out of a job if I didn't make it part of my job that I could prioritize it. And now, you know, 10 years later, of course, I don't need to play tricks with myself. I actually enjoy my self-care. I do plan it into my day. It is on my calendar, but it's because I love it and I enjoy it, not because I'm forcing myself. And frankly, I value myself enough now to take that time, to the point now where I value myself over many other things. Not that I don't love my students and love my husband and love my parents and all of that. I want to make time for them too. But there are times where I just say no to people because that's my self-care time. And I'm actually not willing to give it up unless there's a major emergency. So that's a progression over time. But that's what I mean about lifestyle wellness medicine, is for people with autoimmune disease, we need somebody to hold our hand for those weeks, months, and years until we can establish this new pattern of self-worth and self-care. It's something that a lot of people I know have trouble doing on their own. And because we're so productive and so efficient and taking care of everyone else, it's strange for people who experience autoimmune to ask for help, to admit that we are incapable of creating new lifestyle habits. I hear women say all the time, I am so on it in every other area of my life. I don't understand why I can't do this for myself. Super confused, right? But it goes back to this idea of changing perception, that the perception of I'm efficient, I'm effective, I'm a superstar at work and the best mom or wife or partner that anybody could be. That's one perception, but maybe we need to have some other perceptions too, that life is short. You don't know what's around the corner. You may not realize that you haven't taken any time to play or to be or to feel in decades. And why is that not important? Isn't that why we're here, to do this dance with the universe and to enjoy ourselves and to feel joy and to feel expansive and spacious and creative? Like, the perception that that is a waste of time because I need to be ultra productive, that's just messed up. And I can admit I've been there, but this is what we help people do. We help them find salutogenesis, this idea of my life is happy, healthy, and in coherence, meaning the demands being placed on me are an appropriate level where I can actually handle them and not live with a dysregulated nervous system. It requires a lot of unpacking of your nervous system brick by brick, but also unpacking of your life brick by brick. What is no longer needed in your life? What can we take out? What can we say no to? What can we let go of? What are you not enjoying? What are you doing with your free time that you really don't want to be doing? Who are you serving that isn't showing you kindness and respect? I mean, that was a big one. I heard Dr. Amen say, he's a brain scientist. I heard him say something a few weeks ago that blew my mind, and I'll try to paraphrase it. His name is Amen, and he's a brain scientist doctor in Southern California. He said that his life changed When he finally decided that he was no longer going to be of service to people who were disrespectful to him. I'll say that again. His life changed when he decided he was no longer going to be of service to people who disrespected him. Boom. My goodness, that was so profound. I just stopped what I was doing and I just sat down and I said, whoa, that's a perceptual change. What would that be like? Wow. And so he said he teaches his kids that. So these are the types of things that we want people to have perception changes. I think we get stuck in our lives and we don't think things can change. And yoga, and especially Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, says everything changes. There is no static. It is going to change, but are you going to plant the seeds to have it change potentially and hopefully to the new direction that you want it to go, instead of just being a victim of circumstances and a victim of your life? We have the opportunity each and every day to make new decisions, to get more clarity, to move in a new direction, however slowly that might be. We don't know how fast or slow the seeds will grow, but it is our job from the inside out. We have to be self-empowered to plant these new seeds. And that's what yoga and yoga therapy are about, is helping us understand that we do have this internal power that we can use. Even when we don't have external power, we do have internal power. Even when we don't have external privilege, you can have internal privilege. You can decide, I'm not going to be of service to anyone who's been disrespectful to me. Full stop. Whoa. Right? So these are the types of things that, when we say a yogic wellness lifestyle, a life of living in coherence, that you can handle the demands being placed on you and you can still take care of your autonomic nervous system and feel good a lot of the time, this is what we teach people to do. It's not just stretching and balancing and strengthening, although those things are really, really wonderful. All right, so we've talked a little bit about the autonomic nervous system and chronic pain. We've talked a little bit about the autonomic nervous system and autoimmune disease. I'd also like to talk a little bit about the autonomic nervous system and addiction, because this is the third one that so many of us deal with. And especially, I said, I have a lot of people that come to me so baffled because they are so accomplished and they are so efficient and effective in their lives. And yet they have an addiction to alcohol or pot or sugar or porn or whatever their addiction is, exercising. There's many. Sometimes I laugh. I think I have addiction to animals. I just love every little animal I see out there. I want to adopt. But the thing is, and this comes from Gabor Mate, GaborMate, Gabor Mate is a beautiful, beautiful human. And he says, our addictions are the way that we cope with the stresses that we can't handle in our lives. So instead of thinking of addiction as the problem, what he is saying is that addiction is the symptom of a deeper problem that we're not addressing. The addiction is a symptom of a deeper problem we're not addressing. And I would argue that that deeper problem that we are unable to address is the dysregulation of our autonomic nervous system. Maybe that comes from trauma. Maybe that comes from overwork. Maybe it comes from a life that is putting too many demands on you. Maybe it comes from unprocessed trauma. Maybe it comes from lack of social support and connection. There's a lot of reasons we might have a dysregulated nervous system. But it's through that process of wanting to self-soothe and wanting to feel better that we're using these substances to get that temporary hit of dopamine or serotonin or whatever it is that our unique body chemistry needs to have to feel better. So instead of trying to take away the thing that's making us feel better temporarily, let's go back and get underneath the problem and say, what would happen if we taught people how to regulate their autonomic nervous system? And then let's see if that helps release the addiction. And, you know, I'm working with a wonderful company, Long Branch Medical Centers. Maybe it's Long Branch Addiction Centers. They're in the South, a wonderful team down there that we've been working with, especially Catherine Quayhagen is kind of in charge of the program down there. And we have another podcast episode with Catherine on it. If you'd like to hear that, I'll try to put hers in the show notes. But she's working at a residential inpatient addiction center. So people go in for 30 days or 60 days, sometimes 90 days. And we're using yoga therapy to help people learn how to self-regulate as part of a whole healthcare system, right? There's many other things they're doing too. And Catherine has developed such a beautiful program there of whole person wellness. But yoga is a big part of that. And we've actually been doing research and getting phenomenal results to show that what we're doing is working. And so, you know, along the lines of Dr. Gabor Mate and the team at Long Branch, it is amazing to me to think about what if every addiction center in the whole United States and beyond started to think about regulation of the autonomic nervous system as a central part of what they do. And that when we can help people learn how to regulate, they're much more likely to not have to go to that substance to soothe themselves. So I think you can see that the crux of the issue is regulating the autonomic nervous system. And that if we can do that, we can help people with really tough problems like chronic pain. We can help people with autoimmune disease. We can help people with addictions. And a lot of us yoga teachers and yoga therapists, we know how to do this. We're actually really good at helping people learn how to oscillate their nervous system and helping them learn how to create a lifestyle that helps us stay in balance. So I think that's about all I need to say for today. I have three more weeks with my Monday night yoga therapy clinic that will be going into some different topics, but maybe I'll do a few more solo episodes to kind of cover some of that information that we're talking about on those Monday nights. And also know that you're always welcome to join us for those Monday night clinics. We would love to have you either as a guest from the general public, and we make it per household so that everybody in the household that wants to come can come. Or if you want to do the continuing education units, it's 6 units per month, and we can give you a certificate of completion to turn into your organizations. And that's always a fun way to get continuing education. And we do this the entire year of 2024, and every month has a different topic. So we'd love to see you there. Feel free to contact us if you'd like to know more. All right, everybody, have a great day. Thanks for listening. You have no idea how much we appreciate having you as our listeners and our Patreon sponsors, those of you who are sponsoring us to produce this. We are so, so appreciative to have you on board to help us get this information out there. All right, everyone, we'll talk soon. Thank you for joining us today on the Yoga Therapy Hour. As many of you know, we are very, very interested in inclusion. We want to support anyone who wants to do this work to join us. I'm doing a program with the University of Minnesota. It's all online, and it's a therapeutic yoga series. I'll put the information in the show notes for you. But basically, you can come and you can pay the regular fees if you like, but there's also a sliding scale. If you can't afford, there's a sliding scale. You just email them and let them know that you're not able to afford it, and they will let you join. There's also an opportunity for some of you who do have more resources to sponsor those people who maybe need the sliding scale. So I'll put it in the show notes. We have a series in April. We have one in July, and we have one in October of 2024. And this is a brand new offering at the University of Minnesota. And I'm just so happy that we can offer therapeutic yoga to anyone who wants to join us. All right. Have a great day. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour and Beyond. We love to give you the gift of this podcast each week, and we'd love your support. You can support us through becoming a Patreon member. You can download the Optimal State mobile app and join as a member of the mobile app community. You can give us a great rating on the platform that you listen to this podcast on, and many other things that would help us. Contact us if you'd like to be of support. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to our continued relationship with you.
A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria, and Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next time.